we're good.
Buddha was found again. Buddha was in Buddha's culture was so different from Steve. Steve is Polish.
Mm-hmm.
And his Polish background, Ukrainian, whatever it was very strong. It was stubborn and tight, religious. He wasn't religious, but I mean, there's always a religious intensity the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual and meaningful. It's his whole life. Everything meant everything in that picture.
Mm-hmm.
So he really expressed, I mean, he said so in that little blurb there in the catalog, Hello Steve.
Oh yeah.
Makes it very about life and death, about immortality. Immortality meant that the only way you get immortality was to be a painter. You just read it. That's all it's about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's true.
Yeah. So the then but Buddha was very different. Italian, laid back, and had a much freer view of life. And sometimes a little bit too free, you know what I mean? But that isn't the point. The point is he was his culture too.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. And it shows in his work. A very knowledgeable sense of form. And I mean, I think his best work by him is certainly at the 40s and up to about 1955. And when he, you don't mind my skipping just for a moment, digression, in 1959, 58, 57, in Provincetown.
He went to Provincetown, stuff changed.
He said to me, I can't go on. You've got to change. I said, you can't change now. It's too late. In 60, it would be another school. The expression would be finished. So he looked at me and didn't say a word, but he went right ahead and changed. That was fatal.
Mm-hmm.
That was fatal. Because you can't go back once you change. You just cannot do that.
Yeah.
So he tried other things later on. He went back to doing geometric painting,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But he lost that wonderful quality of the early work of humanity. Lost his humanness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I was always interested in. That sense of humanity. And he lost it.
Well, it's very hard to be out of fashion. Very hard to be alone.
Alone. Well, that period I was having a terrible time, but I was really painting some great pictures. And I was really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And created a lot of enemies in the art world.
Mm-hmm. Having an individual voice will do that for you.
And Tom Hess wouldn't have anything to do with me, and because I once spoke to him about what he was doing and didn't like my attitude. So it ended up where I wasn't reviewed in the news for 20 years almost while he was there. So it doesn't pay to do all these things, but you did them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
My wife stopped listening and she knows what it's all about.
Yeah.
It was tougher. But I was doing some of my finest work, I mean, really great paintings. But anyway, being shown at Bertha Schaefer and a few other places, in museums here and there, picked up one or two. So underneath it, there were a few people that appreciated it, you know, a very modest amount of people.
Yeah.
And they bought, there were a couple collectors that bought one or two, you know, that sort of thing. Gradually, the paintings of that period found their place in private homes and then in museums. A lot of them in museums now.
Mm-hmm.
I say a lot, a few of them in museums. There's two very good ones at the Guggenheim. One at the Modern, and there are about three or four at the Whitney. One out there in California, and there's some in Washington. You know, that's about, they spread around. But the 50s was a very growing period, very exciting period, very important period.
Well, it must have been, I mean,
and it lasted into the 60s, into about 65. I felt I had explored that whole area, and I was trying to find another way of expressing again a certain kind of reality,
mm-hmm.
without basing it formally on the structure that I was using in the previous one. But they overlapped, so that if you looked at my figurative work from the 60s,